What if a pioneering venture capital model could catalyze healthcare innovation by delivering continuous funding, growth, and resources throughout a startup's journey? Our next guest, Dr. Rebecca Mitchell, is doing exactly this as Executive Vice President at Veeve Collective. With a diverse background spanning academic research, public health, product leadership at several leading digital health companies, and now venture capital, Rebecca is at the forefront of funding and scaling the next generation of disruptive health tech companies. While together, Rebecca shares her vision and mission of bringing together seasoned industry experts with fresh perspectives to mentor and propel bold founders who are passionate and determined to reimagine our healthcare industry. Join us to learn how Rebecca and the Veeve Collective team have created a new model to build, fund, and scale the best digital health companies that are destined to make a sizable impact in the healthcare industry. Let's go.
Welcome to Passionate Pioneers with Mike Baselli, where we highlight and speak with the innovators, the game changers, and the pioneers who are deeply passionate and relentless in solving the problems our world is facing today. This is your opportunity to connect with and learn from these leaders and to support them on their mission. Perhaps they will soon be hearing your story as well. This is Passionate Pioneers with Mike Baselli. I look forward to having you on this journey with us. Hi, Dr. Mitchell. A big welcome to our podcast today.
Thanks so much for having me, Mike.
Well, with your breadth of experience from academic research to government to leading growth stage health tech companies to now investing in the next generation of startups, our community has much to gain from your insights, and I can't wait for our conversation. But before we dive in, a bit of housekeeping. While listening to any of our episodes, please take a moment to subscribe to the podcast so you will automatically receive episode updates in your podcast player. Simply search Passionate Pioneers with Mike Baselli on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or feel free to tune in wherever you listen to your podcasts. And lastly, please visit the bottom of the episode notes to connect with me on LinkedIn and Twitter to further the conversations on this podcast. All right, Rebecca, it's almost time for our community to learn how you and the Veeve Collective team are creating a new investment platform to build, fund, and scale the next generation digital health and health tech companies that provides a flexible partnership approach to back high growth, disruptive companies with a network of healthcare and technology experts and partners. But first, what's that one piece of advice that you would give to others who are passionate about reimagining the health of our world?
You bet. So if you're an outsider, find the insiders who still think like outsiders, or said differently, find people who are in the system, but not yet of the system. And if you're an insider, find the humble outsiders who can expand your sense of what's possible and add their complementary skills.
Oh my gosh, we can make a whole podcast just off of that piece of advice alone, Rebecca. I absolutely love it. You know, it is great advice, especially where we are currently when we start thinking about innovation, when we start thinking about disruption in healthcare. You know, we still are living with the remnants of a pandemic and what that caused. We saw great acceleration around telemedicine, telehealth, et cetera. We took that genie out of the bottle. I don't think she's going back in anytime soon, which is great. And we saw a lot of outsider thinking coming in, if you will, to help serve everybody that, you know, became some sort of a patient or a consumer of healthcare during this major crisis that was the pandemic. Rebecca, I love it. Is this something that you and the team, of course, we're going to talk more in depth here about Veeve Collective, but is this something that you and the team rely on as well as part of that network, finding those outsiders and then making sure that the insiders think in an outside type of mindset? Is this part of the collective thinking and some part of the ethos that is Veeve Collective?
Absolutely. So both when we think about the types of teams that we like to invest in, well, I'll say my ideal team are really people who are representing both sides of that coin, particularly those that are willing to work as peers, humble peers together on a problem. And then when we think about the collective that you already beautifully described in your introduction, it's really looking for those insiders and outsiders that have the experience, the skills, the connections, the subject matter expertise that can really unblock the teams that we're investing in or others that are just in our community and we're wanting to help. So much of what can be slow and capital intensive and companies when you're trying to build within healthcare, they're unfortunately things that other people have tried in the past and you just don't know and you don't have access to the information, you know, to perhaps avoid something or pursue a direction that had previously worked. So we want to do as much as possible to bring that community and those resources close to builders so they can not rehash the mistakes that we've all made over the last 10 to 15 years. And together we can build something better.
Well, I can't wait to discuss exactly that, the collective that you and the team have built for the builders in order to accelerate innovation and adoption of new and novel ways to reimagine our healthcare industry. We're going to unpack all of that and more after we get back from thanking our community champion sponsor.
Healthcare faces a paradox that echoes through generations. While the current practices that help heal patients today are vital, it is crucial to evaluate them through an environmental lens. OSHA's Responsible for Tomorrow initiative is a collection of interviews featuring influential thought leaders and industry experts like you who share their sustainability strategies, insights, and provide valuable perspectives from diverse industries to inspire innovation within the healthcare sector. OSHA invites you to join this journey. Want to share your sustainability story? OSHA is actively looking for partners to highlight the important and inspiring work being done around the globe. Check out OSHA's Responsible for Tomorrow initiative and series at OSHA.com, that's OSSUR.com, or visit the episode notes and click on their link. Together, and with OSHA helping lead the way, let's all be responsible for tomorrow.
All right, we are back with Dr. Rebecca Mitchell, Executive Vice President, Vive Collective. Rebecca, thank you so much for setting the stage on the front end. We got to create that entire collective ecosystem, the builders, the folks that have been there, that done that, that have that knowledge, that have that know-how to help and support those entrepreneurs that are really taking our industry to the next level. So, Rebecca, you've had a storied career. You've worked with some of our best organizations from Teladoc to Livongo, et cetera. You've been there. You've done that. You've bought the proverbial t-shirt. You have been in the trenches. You have seen how it works in regards to technology and innovation and healthcare. And now here you are helping lead Vive Collective. So first, let's talk about the journey leading up to Vive Collective. Why Vive Collective? How did it come to be? You're now about a year and a half in as being an executive with the organization. Love to know how it all came to be in the first place. Then, of course, we'll discuss where you are as an organization, where you're heading, how we can help you out, and then close it down after that. But first, take us behind the scenes. How did this all come together in the first place?
Sure. So, I mean, how far back are we going in my own journey before arriving at Vive, right? Everyone has
Absolutely. Well, I mean, you know, we have as much time as you want, but Rebecca, I love the fact that you, again, you've been there and done that. You mentioned it already in the front end, working at Livongo, working at Teladoc. You have seen it. You've been there with some of the leading organizations. So where did you get that itch, first of all, in regards to health technology? And then how did it come to then propel you into being part of the Vive Collective team?
Okay, so I'll go back to the beginning. So I grew up in a family full of people in medical, public health, social services professions, very oriented around our community and state. I was really involved with that since I was a young kid, doing respite care for families with children with medical disabilities, did a lot of volunteering during my undergrad years, and then ended up working in global health with some pretty extraordinary institutions in very unique places around the world, particularly working on women's health in really low resource, often quite rural settings. Started and ran a nonprofit that offered funding and training for aspiring social impact entrepreneurs across Africa. And, you know, really the thread that followed across all those experiences is the power of entering into a new context, having a lot of humility and having a beginner's and learner's mindset, having people alongside of you with very different complementary skill sets, and working with the community and the people that have the problems or the needs to really reimagine a different way of solving the problem, usually with a combination of technology, rethinking kind of the human operations, and being really creative about the business model. And perhaps one of my favorite examples of this that was, you know, in no way my company or technology, an amazing woman named Suellen Miller out of UC San Francisco started an initiative called the Life Wrap, where we were taking really an approach used by NASA with a garment to wrap around astronauts in space so they didn't lose consciousness in zero gravity or low gravity settings, and bringing that into some really resource poor rural settings where women were suffering obstetric hemorrhage after childbirth and were having massive rates of mortality because it was just taking so long to access medications, blood products, other things in that setting, whether due to financial reasons or it just wasn't nearby and you needed to transport that woman to another setting. And, you know, Suellen had the idea, the larger group of people, to use that technology out of NASA, create a garment for that environment that could stabilize women until the appropriate interventions could be brought closer to the women or the women to the interventions. And having the experience of working alongside that team and seeing how they thought about, you know, tweaking what the product was, they thought about taking in the advice of the clinicians that were already there on the ground for how it was going to fit into their workflows, fit into their medical settings, be accepted by the community. And then figuring out, you know, really how to bring it to market by making it an essential medication and medical device with the World Health Organization. You think selling in U.S. healthcare is hard, you know, try figuring out commercialization for something like this. You know, I watched women be brought back to life when a bunch of outsiders and insiders came together, imagined something different. It was a very powerful early career experience for me that stayed with me when I attended medical school at UC San Francisco and was just really lucky to be there in the Bay Area when groups like Rock Health were getting started, companies like Doximity were getting launched, Jordan Schlain's Health Loop, and those organizations were all just amazing and embracing a medical student with a lot of product interest and ambition in digital health to figure out where I was going to fit in. And that's really where my career in digital health and building truly started. I spent about 2 years at Health and Human Services as part of that transition, getting a sense of all of the other incentives and new changes in the market context and regulations that were afoot, whether it was, you know, value-based care was very much in its early days back then out of the CMS Innovation Center. And of course, now is widespread as a way we think about commercializing companies and trying to orient care delivery around impact instead of just the sort of widgets that are produced. You know, ONC was doing a lot of work in ensuring patients' rights and access to their digital health information, working on standards like FHIR and Smart on FHIR that have really changed the interoperability landscape since then. So just a lot of really incredible things that were seeded, you know, well over a decade ago now that you're now seeing out real in companies and in the industry. Then spent about a decade doing product work in different digital health companies that ranged from a few people with kind of a blank sheet of paper or, you know, eventually Google Drive folder to some companies that were very high growth, very successful, like Livongo, you know, that went public and then were acquired at Teladoc. And I stayed for Teladoc about a year and a half. And through those experiences, really learned what it meant to combine, you know, tech plus people plus new business model innovation, but also really grew to respect the individuals that understood the importance of channel access, both access to patient populations, other end users, as well as your customers, and, you know, really how difficult that is in healthcare and how much of that is relationship-based, and also really deeply understanding the value that you can create for those buyers and finding the union of that buyer with the needs of the people you're fundamentally building the product for. And that is the hardest task in healthcare. And you're not going to find it if you're only looking at it from a clinical mindset. You're not going to find it if you're only looking at it from a commercial mindset. So it really comes back to these interdisciplinary peer teams, you know, to kind of arrive at that bullseye. Finally, to finish the answer to the question, after spending 10 years doing that, I was really excited when I met Cheryl Chang, Vive Collective's founder, about a year and a half ago now. And she shared with me her vision for a different type of VC, where the team itself, instead of being made up of investors that were all going to be lone wolves out there finding and leading their own deals, was intentionally designed to be very T-shaped, where she has, you know, she has clinicians on her team, people who are MD, MBAs, people who are builders like myself, people like herself that, you know, has a long tenured history in as an investor, and Hillary Frank, who also co-founded the firm that, you know, has the biggest and best network of any person I've ever come across. Like, I'll be in France in a deli and I'll run into somebody who somehow knows Hillary. And so you kind of purpose built that internal team to work together in that very, very different way for VC. But they'd also come up with this concept of the collective that really matched to what I'd seen as the most powerful ingredient for building great products and companies. So for all those reasons, I was a pretty quick yes to jumping over to the other side of the table and continuing to support builders within the thesis that Cheryl and Hillary had created for Vive Collective. And, you know, now a much larger checkbook to help as well in their journey.
Oh my gosh, what a way to set the conversation of who Vive Collective is. We're going to go there in just a moment, a little bit more in depth. But of course, Rebecca, I got to ask, you know, when you first met Cheryl Chang and the founders and started talking about being part of a, what is on paper or out publicly, a VC firm, did you have that on the radar? You've done some amazing things, right? You've been in really the heart of where we are today, as you mentioned, right? ONC and things like that, what's going on at HHS and all of that, all the wonderful stuff that we saw about a decade ago is now coming to life today. And you were in that. Awesome. But did you have VC on the roadmap as part of your journey?
I honestly really didn't, in part because most VC firms that I was interfacing with didn't remind me much of myself. You know, Cheryl and Vive Collective was really the first that I'd come across that was thinking about building a team and operating as a team that was very familiar to me as a builder myself and really a product person, where you always have a designer and an engineer and then, you know, in healthcare, hopefully a clinician at the table to collaborate. So it really changed my perspective on where my career could go and what a really impactful VC firm could look like. You know, Veev Collective is only 2.5 years old. And the other thing that really attracted me to it is, you know, being in on the ground floor to shape the kinds of companies we were going to invest in, exactly how we're going to build out the collective and really who we're going to be as a firm. We're still in the early innings. We're going to be one of the best healthcare investors in the world. I'm individually working to be one of the best healthcare investors in the world. And you know, the builder in me always likes to be in on the earlier side of that journey to help shape it than jumping into a huge firm.
Well, let's go there. Let's talk about what you and the team are building. As you mentioned, you got there on the ground floor. It is still early. You are around for now 2.5 years, but you guys have made significant progress and already have a very recognized brand amongst health tech innovators and the health tech innovation community. So let's go there, Rebecca. Who is Veev Collective?
So we focus on Series A and growth stage healthcare company. So only healthcare focused. Really focus more on digital health and some tech-enabled services than, you know, hardware pre-FDA type companies. And we're, you know, we kind of spoke a little bit about this, but we're looking for that secret sauce of a multidisciplinary team that are thinking as outsiders with insider intel. And we want to, you know, really see and believe that they've looked ahead into the future, but aren't pretending there aren't good pieces of the past to build upon. So to be very, very concrete, I love finding companies that understand how to commercialize on things like the current fee-for-service rails, but they're showing over time that they are creating so much value in their model for the larger ecosystem that is measurable, attributable to their model. They can start to expand into much more premium, interesting business models, whether it's a PMPM with a plan, fee-for-service with a premium payment for hitting certain goals, or even getting into more, you know, full cap risk. I like those companies because they appreciate that most of healthcare is paid for in a certain way. And if they're going to really grow quickly and reach as many patients as possible, they need to work in that dynamic. But akin to how we started this conversation, they are in the system, but not of the system. And they're really working to build for a better future.
And in regards to the companies that you and the team have invested in or are maybe getting ready to make some of those investments, how has the response been from those builders, from those founders, from those early team members of the startups that you are working alongside? You know as well as I do, we'll see syndication in regards to investment rounds where we may have 1 to 3 or more venture capital firms a part of that total investment into a round. And of course, you're mentioning you've already brilliantly kind of painted the picture of how Veev Collective is different. What has the response been from those builders, from the teams that you're investing in? What has it been like for them to have Veev Collective on their cap table?
Sure. So I think, you know, we've invested in 2 companies to date. One's called Somacare, the other is Kiddo. And for each of them, you know, it's been very personalized in terms of where we or our larger collective has been most helpful. Since there's only 2, I won't get really specific, you know, for obvious reasons. But, you know, from like the individual perspective, like I've really loved working really closely with those teams to think about expanding their product leadership. The rest of the team, how do you think about building a team as you scale, both culturally as well as the new folks to bring in, who to promote from the inside? We've leaned heavily on our collective to help get those companies in front of the right decision makers at potential clients, you know, not just to do a sale, of course, but also to give feedback on, validate or invalidate new product or commercialization direction. You know, it seems that they're responding really, really well. We've really enjoyed working with both of them and are really grateful to be on their cap table. I'd say, you know, more broadly in terms of other companies that we've spoken to about being a financial partner, the concept of the collective is absolutely resonating. I think what a lot of people experience right now is it's either a very sort of structured platform and approach to how you are supposed to build a company, which often comes with immense cost to your cap table because those entities have to, of course, fund that type of intense operation internally. Or it's the other end of the spectrum where VCs, you know, have a lot of talk around how they're going to help. But at the end of the day, you know, maybe they're only showing up for board meetings. So we're pretty different where we're going to have those resources and the right people to help you, but we're not going to tell you how to build a company. We're going to invest in entrepreneurs that we believe know how to build their company. And we're really there to be an accelerant, you know, in the same way that our capital is intended to be an accelerant and leverage to build.
So we're also in recording this episode in early 2024. You know as well as I do, it is a volatile time It is an interesting time in regards to the venture capital community, investments being made, and where things are in regards to kind of this post-pandemic bubble that has burst, which may be a healthy thing to kind of help reset the market, if you will. What has this been like, these current dynamics for you and Veev Collective and the market as a whole? And what are you seeing? What should we be mindful of that you guys are kind of recognizing in the marketplace as these dynamics have shifted? You know, one of my mentors, I love what he said to me years ago, amidst great chaos presents great opportunity. Might that be the case as well for Veev Collective? Where are things? What's the state of the union right now with where we currently are and kind of this big, great reset in our industry? What is it like for Veev Collective at this time?
I love what you just said. My version of that is Warren Buffett's, hey, when everybody else is scared, it's when it's time to be greedy. Maybe greed is not the right word there, but similar concept. So look, like to pull back a little bit on the question, all of healthcare is going through change management right now, right? And if you think about when I first got out of medical school and was really getting into digital health 10 to 15 years ago, we were going up that slope, up to the heights of inflated expectations that we really reached during the height of the market when, you know, Livongo timed it really well. Like that's when we sold. So much of that was about the timing, right? Props to the leadership team. And since then, we've been tumbling down that peak of inflated expectations, both in healthcare, but of course, more broadly, you know, across all of the markets into, you know, unfortunately, the trough of despair. I really believe that we're coming back up now, the slope of enlightenment. Amazing people are taking on far more complex, more ambitious problems and starting companies around them than they ever have before. So many people starting companies are truly seasoned from the last 1 to 2 startups that they were a part of. It's just been incredible thinking about the product community alone and how much it's changed over the last 10 years. 10 years ago, it was a lot of me looking around and going, okay, I have to run like healthcare 101 classes with all of my, you know, otherwise extraordinary peers that really understand product. You now have people across every single function, whether they're starting the companies or just leading within them, that have been around long enough that they really truly understand the industry and they are also top of the game in their craft. So you're going to see a completely different quality and sort of scope of companies coming out in this current cycle. But because of the way, you know, inherently our markets work, where companies were funded for a multi-year runway, then they were bridged, you know, sort of by insiders, like trying to soften the blow, hoping they would catch up. The overhang of that, you know, trough of despair is obscuring the fact that we're now going back up that slope of enlightenment. So, you know, pulling it now back to Veev, I will own we are very fortunate where because of the timing around when we were launched and, you know, really because of the wisdom of Cheryl Hillary and our capital partner, Clearlake, they never really bought into the inflated valuations of that time and were quite patient even to find the two companies that we did invest in during that time. We don't have a large portfolio of companies that are suffering from this, you know, inflated valuation problem. Very different, very difficult for, you know, my peers at other firms that are in that situation. We really have the opportunity right now to instead focus back to the fundamentals and say, okay, we understand the industry, back to the fundamentals of financial investing, which is fundamentally about how fast is the company growing and where do we think we're going to arrive at in cash flow, not gross margin, not all the things in between on this spreadsheet, but who's really going to be profitable and how fast are they going to be growing and like generating that profitability. I've really seen a lot of opportunities arising right now that are breaking some of the rules of thumb in VC. And it's most evident when you take a look at the actual company, dig into the fundamentals, you know, especially at the stage that we see them at the growth stage, some of these are getting pretty close to profitability. Some are already there. They often have a very clear playbook for how they're going to expand across markets. And it's very clear and very de-risked how we're about to have a crop of moderately to high growth, profitable digital health companies. That is not what we had for the last 10 years when people were really funding growth with VC capital, most of them. But those companies don't often map to all of the things people are publishing right now around what does a good digital health top tier company look like. They just don't. And that's simply because all of those metrics inherently are based upon historical data and they're describing the companies over the last 10 years. So I think the opportunity for Veev and for every good VC that is not going to go by rule of thumb, but is really going to dig into the fundamentals is enormous right now. like the whole game here in this industry is looking into the future, finding the people who are building into it and doing things that are somewhat contrarian. And I think there's actually a number of like contrarian, but actually pretty safe bets out there right now. And we should all be starting to write those checks.
Well, let's go there, Rebecca. You set me up actually perfectly. You're sounding very bullish about the future state of our industry and where things are heading. So let's pretend, let's take the crystal ball off the shelf. We've crossed the proverbial chasm. We're on the other side. It's 2 to 3, 3 to 5 years out. Where are we from your, you know, kind of field of expertise? Where are we as an industry on the macro? And then, of course, where is Veev Collective going to be in that kind of new landscape, this bullish landscape that you're, you know, painting this picture? Got me really fired up, by the way. What are you seeing and what are you anticipating? What should we be mindful of as a community tuning into this episode?
So just share a couple of things. So I really believe that we're going to see, you know, one of the companies from the category I was just speaking about, like moderate to high growth at profitability. We're going to see a number of them being acquired or going public over the next few years, especially as the public markets start to open up. You know, hopefully the cost of capital is a little bit nicer than it is today. I'm certainly not going to go back to 2020 era. And it's going to really change things in terms of how we think about multiples and valuation and like what the opportunities are for this whole cohort of companies now growing up through the earlier into growth stages. That more than anything is going to unlock capital again. That more than anything is going to prove that we're now moving up that slope of enlightenment that I was talking about earlier. I am so excited for the next few years and a bunch of these companies really coming out in the market. I very much believe that you are going to see a number of the tech-enabled virtual care organizations that could be all virtual, could be hybrid, really getting to scale across the United States, and not just scale where they're in every state, but scale in terms of patient census, where we're going to have a number of those companies now national brands that my family living back in Wisconsin will recognize just as much as we do out here in the Bay Area. That's really going to change consumer expectations and just perspectives on what's sort of the core of healthcare and what's just digital health on the side. That line's going to get really, really blurry and pretty quickly disappear. And part of that blurriness and disappearance of the line alludes to the third trend that I'm seeing and believe will be very robust in the next 3 to 5 years, which is the core of current healthcare, the physicians that we would expect to go see in our local community, the big integrated institutions, they're now starting to refer to all of these digital health companies in a very, very different way than they did even a few years ago. And it's both for reasons that are entirely due to the digital health companies themselves. Again, they're taking on bigger scope of problems. They're being built with more sophistication. They have better numbers and data behind them. They have great patient experience, all these things. You know, they can bill through like the more normal healthcare billing, you know, sort of cycles. They have payer coverage. But just as real, unfortunately, is the pressure that our healthcare system is under, where access, quality is not just felt by individual patients and their families. They're also felt by the good clinicians practicing in those systems. Like when you need to send somebody for a sleep study and nobody can see a person for 6 months, and like one of these new incredible hybrid or virtual sleep companies comes to you and says, look at my data. I'm in your community. Try us with a few patients. Those clinicians do, and it goes great. Guess who they're going to start referring to in the future? So we're going to have this beautiful tapestry in 3 to 5 years of these at-scale digital health companies working collaboratively with the existing health systems.
And I take it Veev Collective is going to be right in the heart of all of that.
I mean, I'm very open book on the sort of thesis that I'm at least investing around. So yes, absolutely.
It's exciting. You're absolutely spot on. I mean, one of the big things, one of the big crises that we're dealing with in healthcare right now, and you kind of really hit it right on the head, is workforce, right? We're going to have this crisis. We're not going to have enough docs. We're not going to have enough care team members. How do we leverage some of these digital health companies to create some of those wraparound services, create the continuum care of a patient? You mentioned that great example of a sleep company coming in and be able to maybe get that study to that patient today, as opposed to waiting for 6 months. These things also have me incredibly excited, Rebecca. What a fantastic future. And I tell you, it feels like it's coming faster than ever, which is a very, very good thing. And I'm incredibly excited as well. Let's bring it back to current state as well. Rebecca, got an incredible community rallied around this podcast. Love to help our guests. What's one problem, need, or question that you and the team have that our community can be helping you with?
I think if you are a person that wants to be part of the collective, who just wants to start a company, raise your hand, right? Like, we're continuing to build that community. We need more people with diverse life experiences, diverse skill sets, diverse ideas to be part of it. So, you know, whether it's with Vive Collective or it's a different group in your local community or on an interest area you have the courage to jump in and help invent the future. That, you know, it's healthcare. All of us are going to be participating in it at some point. So, you know, one of, if not the most important problem to work on right now. And it's really, really hard, but that impact potential is unmatched.
Well, for the folks that do want to jump in and get a hold of you to discuss exactly how to do it, how do they get a hold of you? Social media handles, contact points online, websites, or otherwise, how do they track you down, Rebecca?
Sure. So I am on X at Rebecca Coleus. Good luck spelling that last name. I can perhaps post it when the podcast goes up. You can find me on LinkedIn, Rebecca Mitchell, MD. And of course, through the Vive Collective website, there's contact information there.
Easy enough. And yes, don't worry about spelling it out, because for our listening community, simply scroll on down into our episode notes in your favorite podcast player. We'll have all those contact points where you can click on through to get a hold of Rebecca and the team. Or you can head over to our free global online community at passionatepioneers.com. There will be a post for this episode where you can also leave comments and feedback for Rebecca and the team, again, over at passionatepioneers.com. Rebecca, we're going to wind it down. You have me extremely excited. Heck, I might even write in and ask, how the heck can I come in and cause some good trouble with Vive Collective? You have an incredible team. You guys are doing amazing work. Have me very, very fired up. So thank you for spending the time here. But before we get you out of here, we have one more piece for you. It's a fill in the blank. I'm a passionate pioneer because
I believe in leaving the world better than I found it, at least within my sphere of influence. And it's very much how I define a life well lived. And to leave it better, that usually means you need to pioneer into new places and problems than those that came before.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for closing it down today, Rebecca. This was a fantastic conversation. I know how busy you and the team are. I know we have been having this episode a long time coming on the schedule. So thank you for coming together today to spend time with our community, to share everything happening in the Vive Collective community and where you are heading as well. Look forward to being a part of that journey. But for now, Rebecca, again, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Mike.
Thank you for joining us today on Passionate Pioneers with Mike Baselli. We'd love to hear your feedback about the podcast so we can continue to improve this community and to further support the pioneers being featured. Lastly, please take a moment to subscribe to the podcast and invite your friends and colleagues to join us. This is Passionate Pioneers with Mike Baselli. I look forward to having you back with us during our next episode.